Good morning. The Lord bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus. Let me hear amen to that. I don't know how to express my gratitude to the pastoral team other than just say thank you very much for this opportunity. I don't take it for granted. The first time you met me, you tend to show me how much Jesus has taken hold of you. And thank you and your husband. And the entire church also, I thank you that you can pay attention to an African man like me, all the way from Nigeria. But I'm a child of God like you. And can we pray together? Yes. Awesome and great God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the God of all flesh, the Father of all spirits, the one who saved us by the blood of his Son, who lavished love upon our lives so that we can love him back. We thank you. This short time we have together, I ask that you bless us abundantly. Open our eyes to see. Thank you for the prophetic songs that came forth, that you are the river of our lives. Thank you. Now speak to us and through us, and open our hearts and our ears to hear and understand. In Jesus' solid name I pray. Amen. I don't know if I could be helped in the video room to flash some scripture on the screen. Is it possible?
Yes.
Okay. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Isaiah 55. I will read down. Help us. Okay, I'm still seeing us. Isaiah 55. Though I'm reading from New International Version, but you can still follow that. I want us to see what God is telling us from his word. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Are we there? Not yet. Okay. Let me start reading. Verse 6 says, Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. That's the nature of God. He forgives, he pardons. If we turn to him. Then he said, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. The word that goes out of my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. This is the word of the Lord. God is saying here, my word, once it's out of my lips, it goes to God. And it must return to me, meaning that the word of God reports back to God and said, Mission accomplished. When military men go out for battle, take off from the sea on the deck of warship, if it bombs a place, it must return back. It must come back and return and say, success. If it's not success, it goes back again. But the word of God doesn't come back and go back again. No, it doesn't do that. Once God says, go and save them, go and heal them, go and protect them, go and deliver them, it goes out. It must accomplish that. We call that integrity. It doesn't fail. It's not corrupt. It doesn't have the potential to fail. The only potential it has is to succeed. And I discover that the integrity of the Word of God is being questioned, is being doubted, is being challenged. Just give you a little background of me. My wife and I studied here at Mennonite Seminary some years back, about 40, what? Well, we went to Goshen first, about 42 years ago in Goshen. Then we came to AMBS at the seminary here. We were there for about 4 years. And my concentration was on historical theology. And I did all I could to understand God as I studied. Well, I soon discovered that I was in a liberal school, but I was a highly conservative man. And I was glad I came here. I did not go to Wheaton College or seminary, where it's completely conservative, because my brain would have not been tasked to think for myself. So I had some lecturers who would tell me, well, Joseph, I don't believe in resurrection. Now, if you don't believe in resurrection, you don't believe in nothing. Well, I have the grace to say to him, sir, well, we Christians believe in resurrection. And he asked me, are you suggesting I'm not a Christian? Well, I said, I don't know. All I know is that Christians believe in resurrection. I put up with a lot of gas before I left there. But I'm glad I did, because it helped me. It helped me to think. And today, most Christians are not thinking. And our thinking are not deep enough. We just take things hook, line, and sinker and think it's okay. If somebody come and tell us that if you jump 3 times, God will prosper you, we may likely do it in the name of prophecy. That's very dangerous. Back in Nigeria, where I am, is the largest population in Africa. For if you find 4 Africa working together, one of them is in Nigeria. We're in millions, 180 million people in that little town, country. And whereas there are other countries that are much bigger, they don't have the population. We probably have more ministers in Nigeria than you have Christians in other African countries. And Nigerians are known to be enterprising, missionary-minded. They are all over. They are in Europe. The largest Pentecostal churches are Nigerians. They are in Ukraine. The largest church in Ukraine, evangelical church, is a Nigerian pastor. They are in America. They are in Chicago. They are everywhere. They are in Britain. They are in African countries. They are in Kenya. They are in Canada. And yet, as interesting as that may seem, there's a problem. The problem is that there's a deviation from the authentic gospel, the word of God. You know, anything cannot be gospel. People tell you that prosperity is gospel. I've had somebody preaching one day, as he was preaching, he was preaching on healing, on prosperity. And somebody was shouting, that's the gospel. I said to myself, that's not the gospel. That's healing. It's not the gospel. God wants to heal us. You can't debate that. You can't deny that. He's a healer from the beginning. He's still a healer. So, but that's not the gospel. Prosperity is not gospel. God wants to prosper us. I've seen it in my life. Deliverance is not gospel. God wants to deliver us. I've seen that. I live in a Muslim country, in a Muslim town. And you just don't know what is coming next. So constantly you have to pray, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. As you go to bed, Father, we receive your deliverance and protection today in Jesus' name, every day. One of the things that upsets me is that a typical average America don't seem to understand how privileged they are for the freedom they have. You have too much freedom that you need to sell out to other people. People are in confusion. People are under constant torment. Who can say to the president of a nation in another country and say, what you're talking about is nonsense? If you do that in most countries, the security man will come to your house and pick you up. They will not know where you are. But you can say that in America, and I'm not saying that we should take that for granted, but too much freedom in America, like we're saying just now, some people pay for that. They pay for that. And that same people will come back, and then we will hate them, though they went to fight for the nation, and then we don't like them, for whatever reason. I want us to come back to the Word. The integrity of the Word of God is so much wanting today. The church must uphold it. Right now, as I'm talking to you now, a lot of Muslim jihadists all over the nations try to convert men to Islam. And there are so many easy virtues all over the place. People who listen to lies and come to Islam. They are here in this country. Somebody said the fastest growing religion in America today is Islam. Well, that's in America, but you need to go to other places. The fastest growing religion today, if it's religion, is Christianity. Men are turning to Jesus. In Arab country, people are seeing vision of Christ. Vision. North Africa, that is predominantly Muslim. So many churches are growing up there now because people are hot for Jesus. Amen? Now, the point about the integrity of the Word is, can you trust the Word? Can we trust it? Can we trust what it says? If you say, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, can I trust it? If he says, he will take away sickness from our midst, he will not bring upon us the diseases we know in Egypt. If he says, I am the Lord that heals you, can we trust it? Now, I'm not saying trusting it to refuse to go to the doctor. That's not what I'm saying. Do we trust it? Even while you're using your pill, can you say, God is my healer, not the pill? Of course, the doctors tell us that they care, but God heals. They only care. God is the one that heals. God has computerized our body to take care of itself. If we eat the right food, do the right thing, it will heal itself. But if we eat junk, then you need a lot of medicine to take care of the junk. But even at that, God still heals. He's a healer. Now, that God is my healer doesn't mean that I won't be sick. That God is my savior doesn't mean that I won't be able to do something that is wrong. Certain times, if I'm careless, God is what he says he is. The word of God is sound to guide us by the content of the character. A sound word. We cannot diminish it. Once one claimed to be regenerated, born again, redeemed, reconciled to Jesus, what have you? How you came to Jesus is not my interest now. Once you claim to come to Jesus, to have an encounter with Jesus, I'm saying walking in the unimpaired condition of God's word is required. The word of God is unimpaired. The word of God is not subject to criticism. You can say all you want to say. He is God. This is the word of God, the Bible, the scriptures. The whole thing in my hand is called the Bible. But the letters in them are called the scriptures. All scripture is God-breathed. If God breathed it, and it's profitable for what? For correction, for rebuke, for training in righteousness. Then a man of God may be equipped in every dimension to do what is good. The hour in which we are is that man has now become his own God. Particularly in this modern culture we are. I have chosen to be my own God. What I do is nobody's business. If I get married to a wife and I don't like her, I can pull away from her. It's not like that in the Bible. If I marry a wife, a husband, and I'm not happy with him, for whatever reason, I pull away from him. When you come to the Bible, you discover God says, I hate divorce. Do you think you see it now? Oh, somebody said, marriage is such that if I'm not happy, I will not stay in it. Well, you have forgotten there's conflict in marriage also. My wife and I has been married for 41 years tomorrow. Nice. You know. That we'll be married for 41 years tomorrow doesn't mean we didn't have conflict. We have disagreement. Let's go this way. No, let's go this way. This is the right way. No, it's not the right way. Well, and then I went my way and discovered that her way is right. We have to turn back that way. But that is conflict, isn't it? That little conflict can generate into a serious violence. But because we know Jesus, because we know what his word says, it will not generate violence. I have never once got up from my chair and said, you, this woman. It has never happened in 41 years. She has never got up and said, you, this man, I hate everything inside you. She never said that. But we've had conflict. Simple conflict. This is what I want to eat. She fixed something else. I told you I don't want to eat that. And she has to fix something else. That's a conflict, isn't it? Now, what I'm saying is, if we uphold the integrity of the word of God and live by it, it's capable to handle every situation of our life. Everyone. Every situation of our life. Our marriage, our health. The Bible says the word of God is a medicine for our whole body and our bone. How is it? By reading it, by studying it, by memorizing it, by believing it. You discover that miracle begin to happen. A number of times I've been sick and I have to depend upon the word of God. Because it says he's a healer. If there's sin, I have to depend on the word of God. Because he forgives and he made his son the propitiation for my sin. Not only my sins, but the sins of the whole world. So when I do anything wrong, God forbid, I don't run away from him. I run to him. Even if I see him holding a club, which he doesn't do, I would rather have him kill me with his club than run away from him and die in an empty field. Because God is what he says he is. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. Now, when I talk about serving God, I'm using it generally. Serving God is not simply coming to be a pastor or be a singer like our sister. That's not it. It goes beyond that. That's part of it. but it goes beyond that. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 12, please can you flash this so we can see? Romans 12, 1. Oh, we've not been able to do it. You can remove us now, they have seen me. Romans, it's coming? Okay. Here he is. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, physical body, my head, my hand, my leg, my tummy, my stomach, my mouth, my ears, my heart, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Or this is your true and proper service. The Greek there is service, religious service to God. He said, if you want to worship God, if you want to serve God, the place to start from is that you must take your mouth, your head, your ears, your heart, your thoughts, your leg, your organs, and say, God, it is yours, it's no longer mine. When you do that, that's the beginning of service unto God. If you have not done that, you may stay here and preach the best of sermons, correct theology, wonderful singing, nice hugging. You're not serving God. You are serving yourself until you do that. He said that is your true act of worship. I love the way New International put it. May I read New International? I wish you have an old New International. They've messed International, New International up now. They've confused it. Do you happen to have New International, brother? No, this is New King James. Oh, is that okay? Okay. Well, I have a different version here. Mine says, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Mine says spiritual act. It's a different New International. Okay, but let's move on. But my point is, brothers, until we dedicate ourselves, our body, physical body. We're not talking of spiritual body now. Because every sin we commit is with our body. Fornication, our body. Gossip, our body. Hearing of evil and passing it to others by our body. Fighting our body. So God is saying, I'm seizing your body from you. You give it to me, then I'll allow you to serve me. You don't give it to me, you're not serving anywhere. Because the nature of God, as we serve him, must comply with the integrity of his word. Therefore, our body must be given to the Lord. Folks, let me say this with all boldness and humility. If our body is given to the Lord, a lot of mess that we are seeing now in our homes, in our street, it will not be there, particularly the Christian. Because there's certain attitude and character that doesn't fit into the word. And the world out there are saying, ha, is he a Christian? That's the issue. So, once we have genuine encounter with Jesus, then what we do next is to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 talks about the nature of service. Please give us 2 Corinthians 10, 31. 2 Corinthians. Well, okay. Yeah. Is it there? Okay. So, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, notice that, eat, drink, or do. Do it all for the glory of God. Anything we do, what you say, when you're driving, do you drive to the glory of God? That's service. That's serving God. The speed limit says 65. But I'm late. I went 75. I saw the policeman coming. I slowed down. But I saw God see me. I don't care about God. Is that something else? The Bible says, love your neighbor. You say, no, I can't love him. Thank God for this church. The Lord is going to prosper in Jesus' name. Love your neighbor. You say, no, my neighbor is a black dude. I can't love him. He's a dangerous man. My neighbor is a white man. I can't love him. Well, I don't know where we found that out. Definitely it's not in the nature of God. It's not there. That's how in the 60s and 70s and even 80s, our black brothers in this country turned to Islam. They went to a church and they were not received. And then the Muslim missionary capitalized on that and said, that's a white man religion. That's why they didn't receive you. Islam is the religion of the whole world. So let's take you to Mecca. And then they went to Mecca. Or let's take you to the mosque. And at the mosque, they saw that a black man was in the front leading as their pastor. A black man was there as a prominent member of the mosque. And then the guy said, you see that? I told you. I'm going to take you to Mecca. When they get to Mecca in Saudi Arabia and saw how many blacks came all over from Africa, Asia, and they all sat together and chanting their demonic chantings. You tell the guy, do you see that? It's a pity that we're not following the word, but thank God things are getting better. Things are getting better. When I went to school in Tennessee many years ago, 1975, I started my education there before I transferred from Tennessee to Knoxville. That's the first place I saw racism. And of course, I was too tough for racists to handle me. I laugh and I bless them. So the Lord bless you. One guy called me and said, get out of here, you nigger. I said, nigger loves you. Would you like to be a nigger too? It's a matter of laughter for me, not annoyance. Calling me nigger to remove nothing from me. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, it makes me happy to be able to say to my enemy, I love you. Because that's what the Bible says. It says, love your enemy. Love your enemy. You know, it's a very funny thing. We're not following the Bible. That's my point. If we follow the Bible, a lot of problems we're having, we're not going to have it. So, Colossians chapter 3, please, if you can give it to me, I will appreciate this. Chapter 3, verse 17, Colossians. What do you mean to serve God? The integrity of the word of God must be obeyed. We must stand by it. We must read it. You know one funny thing? 90% of Christians in the world today don't read the Bible. They carry it. Some don't even carry the Bible, especially now that we have facilities like this where I can flash you. Why do you need the Bible? Some don't have the Bible in the house. Some people don't have devotion with their children and family. Some don't read the Bible or meditate on the Bible. And it's a pity. If you don't meditate on the Bible, which is the kingdom constitution, how will you know what God says? You don't read America's Constitution? People like me from outside the country, I read America's Constitution to know what it says. And I read America, red-blooded American in America, don't read the Constitution. Right. So it is, they don't read the Bible. Right. If you don't read the Bible, somebody can come and pull a shellac over your face, tell you what you should do, tell you that, hallelujah, hallelujah, there's somebody here, you just bought a house, 3 days ago, and he knew you bought a house. The Lord said you should sow it to this ministry. And you take your CFO, your certificate of occupancy, your documents, and give it to the pastor. He makes money and lives on the hog, and you are poor, wretched. That's happened in Nigeria a lot. In Africa, as a matter of fact. In fact, some of the preaching that is going to... We have the finest preachers in Nigeria and the worst preachers in Nigeria. I've never seen a country like that. If you want to hear sound preachers, come to Nigeria. If you want to hear a preaching that will sick in your tummy, come to Nigeria. You ask, what is this? Somewhere in Kenya, a guy was preaching one day, and he said, praise the Lord, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. But before we take the Lord's Supper, we're going to eat the natural supper first. I want everybody to go outside and eat grass. And everybody trip out and bend down and start eating grass like goat. In Kenya. Another one, in the name of ministry, people lie down and he was climbing and walking on them at the back. Is that? They're not reading the Bible. Because where do you get that paradigm from? So there's a need for us to read the Bible. If we read the Bible, we'll take a stand on a number of issues. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, do we have Colossians? Yes. Colossians says, you're going to give me 23 also later. And whatever you do, whether in words or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Do it for the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. Whatever you do, if you sing, do it for the Lord. If you do a singing to the Lord like my sister did, you won't be singing for somebody to notice you. Anything we do that we don't do it in the name of the Lord, it's not for God. No record of it. No record. Verse 23, sir. Verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Wow. Whatever I do. So if I come here to sweep this, vacuum this place, I could be singing on, say, Lord, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you, Lord. Take all glory from my sweeping. Because I'm doing it for the Lord. Not for human master. Whatever you do, if you sing, if you drive, if you walk in your office, do it for the Lord. Don't think I'm doing it for my boss. No. Anything we are doing should be for the Lord. When I was studying at the seminary here, I studied for the Lord. How? Before I start doing my assignment, I bow my head, Father, in the name of Jesus. Teach me what to do. Help me through this assignment. Take glory from it in Jesus' name. I do that. When we talk, let's do it to the glory of God. When we drive, let's drive to the glory of God. In our relationship, let's do it to the glory of God. The way we train our children, let's do it to the glory of God. Let's ask our children, what you've just done or you're doing now, does it glorify God? That's why we must lead our children to Christ. They must know Jesus personally. Personally. Lead them to the Lord. Coach them with the word. We have 14 children that God gave us to raise for Him. 6 of them are our biological children. 8 of them are adopted children, orphans. Those 14 children, they all went to school, each one of them. Except you don't want to go to school. In fact, because of our poverty in Africa, I make sure that you go to school. Education is very good for you. People don't know that. In America, you are free. There's free handout. There's money. You can get, you can work and make money. And it can come to a point, don't go to school. Do you notice that rich men, politicians, all their children went to school? Hardly you find a rich man like Bill Gates and Co. whose children didn't go to school. Even though I heard that he didn't go to school at a point. You know, he dropped out. School is good for you. I went to school. I have several degrees from universities. I went to Notre Dame. I went to Goshen College. I went to Cincinnati College. I went to Johnson Bible College. I have some education. As a result, I can read and write, and I know information. I try to think of what to read. I want to read American Constitution, my Constitution, to know what it says, to know my right. It was Kennedy who said, it is a crime not to go to school. Because when you go to school, you know what's going on. Knowledge is power. You know what? Knowledge is power. You can't come to me and say, God told me that I should tell you that your wife who is quarreling with you should divorce her because she's going to hinder your ministry. If you come to me like that, I know that you are from the devil. God will never tell me to divorce my wife because she's quarreling with me. I look for an elder to mediate. I say, please, elder, come to Brother Cook. I say, you're a man, an older man. Please tell me how to handle my wife. Or come to Sister Jane. I say, please, how do you women behave in this direction? Can you tell my wife how to behave well? Then say, that's the end. That's what the Bible says. It says, if you have a problem, go to your wife, go to that person, talk to that person. If she or he listens, you've won him. If he doesn't, go to somebody else. So it's scriptural to go to the cooks and said, please, I have a problem in my family. Can you come and mediate? Because the Bible says so. Not well, I'm done with you. I'm calling my lawyer. Don't call lawyer. Lawyer is interested in your money and he wants to separate you. That's all lawyer is interested in. If you're a lawyer here, I'm not castigating you. I'm only saying the obvious. Is that true? We're fighting. And he just said, well, if you have a problem, somebody hurt you, somebody steal something from you, call us, we can help you. We have help with us. Where does the mediation and peace come from? As long as it depends on yourself, be at peace with all men. Let me tell you, the church has become very violent like the Muslim people. Muslims are naturally violent because the Quran told them to be violent. Revenge. If you do me evil, I will do you evil back. But in Christ, he said, pay no evil for evil. Is that what it says? Oh, some of you said, yes, but. Once somebody say yes, but, the but is more important than yes. What is going to say? May the Lord help us. People hurt us all the time. When they hurt us, we don't hurt them back. We pray for them. So the Bible says verse 23 again. 23. Give me 24, sir. Next verse. 24. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. Anything you do, do it with all your heart. He said, it is the Lord you are serving. So which means, as a truck driver, it is the Lord you are serving. You're not serving man. It's not that company. As somebody working at McDonald's, servicing, giving them, you know, hamburger, is the Lord you are serving. You must be cheerful serving the Lord. You shouldn't squeeze and tight your face. And somebody come to you and said, I need Big Mac. What did he say? I don't understand you. No, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that. Because you are serving the Lord. When you are sweeping and somebody is trying to mess it up, just gently tell the person, please, can you hold on? Go that way. Don't say to the person, hey, what are you doing? Get back. That's not nice enough. Every action must be weighed on the word. Does it comply to the word? That's the question we're asking. Verse 25, sir. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrong. And there's no favoritism. You do evil, God will pay you back. You do right, He'll reward you. Let's understand that. That's the word. That's where the word starts for us. So what we believe, how we live, what we're doing, what we're saying, is all very important to God. So serving God in the integrity of His word is to bring us to the point that what God says is what we must follow. No matter how difficult. No matter how difficult. We must say, God said it, I'm going to do that. But today, there's a lot of confusion in the world. Doubt and unbelief. I can't do that. It's not consistent with my feelings. But is it consistent with God's feelings? That's the question. If one wants to sweep, want to be super optimistic by saying, well, the world is good, because a lot of people are saying, the world in which you live, God is doing great things. I'm not saying that God is not doing great things. He is doing great things. He has always done great things. He never stopped doing great things. Even in dark ages, He was always doing great things. But I'm saying, the situation of things now in this world is a terrible one. Come to Nigeria and know what I'm talking about. Nigeria is the most terrible place to live in the planet Earth. Kidnapping is going on a daily basis. Someone put a gun on your head just because they saw you have a good car, a nice home, and pick you, whisk you away to a mountain somewhere nobody can get to. And he's demanding you that have no $1,000 in your account, he's demanding $10 million. And tell you have 30 minutes to get that out, or else I blow your head up. And it has happened. Arm robbery. Ritual killing. Ritual killing is where you kidnap somebody and kill him, remove his organs for some wicked things. We live in that same country. Political corruption. People do things just for their political mind. Right now, there's a game going on in Nigeria called the killing or the massacre by a tribe of people called Fulani herdsmen. Fulani herdsmen, they are cattle rearers. They are nomads. They move from place to place. They don't have homes. They don't have country. They go anywhere. Sometimes they come to your farm with their cattle, 2,200 cattle, and eat your crops. They come with AK-47. As you challenge them, why do you bring your cattle to eat my crops? The guy is ready to fire. And they have killed so many people. And the present Muslim president is a Fulani man. And they will kill, he will say nothing. When Nigerians were getting tired, they started demonstration, public ticketing recently, that he must go. But we are planning now, we have invented a cliche. We call our voting card, in Nigeria we have voting card. We call our voting card AK-47. And so everybody should go and get his AK-47. We must shoot him out of the president with our votes. That's how terrible it is. We drive through the nights, bad roads, and you have to bury your head under God's armpit. Trust Him that He says in Psalm 91 that no evil will befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling. We have to trust Him. We have to follow Him. That's what God says. Now let me quickly round up because of our time. And I think you've got the kernel of what I'm saying. God's word must be followed. Let me say something. If you have ever been sick, and the sickness is scaring, is staring you on the face, on the eye, looking at you, it's very easy not to believe God. But I'm here to say, as you have always believed, I know you teach, you preach healing here, you do healing here. I had a testimony about that. There's a need for us to stand up against every disease and sickness in our body, in accordance with the word of God. Jesus kept the law for us. We couldn't keep the law according to Deuteronomy and Exodus. He said, if you keep the law, I will take sickness from your midst. When Jesus came, he kept the law. And Galatians says, he was made a curse for us. So that what happened in that curse is that Isaiah says, Jesus took our sicknesses or diseases and bore our pains. And by his stripes, we have been healed. I think we should begin to speak healing to our body before sickness comes. Let's not wait until sickness comes, until disease comes. Let's wake up in the morning, look ourselves in the mirror, and say, in the name of Jesus, Joseph Ali, you are well, you are sound, you are healed, because Jesus bore your sickness and carried your disease according to his word. We should do the same thing according to his word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians says, we have been reconciled. I think we should just, please, can we just look at this? That's my last scripture. 2 Corinthians, can you flash it on the screen? Chapter 5, verse 14. Okay. It says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. Who is that one? Jesus. And therefore all died. Yes? Next verse. Or you can jump to 18 or verse 17, sir. Jump to 17, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. If you are in Christ, God forgives in Christ, cleanses us, purifies us, washes us by his blood. If you truly have an encounter with Jesus, the Arab Muslims are having encounter with Jesus every day. I had an encounter with Jesus 49 years ago when I was 22 years old. At 71, I'm looking at it. I just look back now and say, wow, do you mean that I have come to know Jesus 47 years ago? And it's getting sweeter and better every day. So if you have an encounter with Jesus, you are in Christ, you are a new creation. All has gone, the new is here. Verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of what? God reconciled us to himself. He has made peace with us. He's no longer quarreling with me. He loves me. He has received me. Then he said, he gave me the ministry. So you are a minister. The ministry of reconciliation. Everyone at the sound of my hearing, you are a minister. You may not be a pastor. You may not be an apostle. You may not be an evangelist. But you are a minister. If you are saved, if you are in Christ, you are a minister. Why? Because God, through Jesus, has given you the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry you have is to reconcile sinners to God by physically talking to them about Jesus. Not just praying for them. Praying is good. What do we do without praying? Apostle says, they said, we will not leave this ministry and come and start sharing the table, distributing food. He said, we will be committed to the preaching of the word, the ministry of the word and prayer. Two things. A lot of churches, all they do now is to pray. Let's pray for sinners in Africa. Father, in the name of Jesus, save sinners in Africa. Good. Let's pray for sinners in America. Good. But when we see them somewhere where we can say to them, hello, sir, how are you? Fine. Can I share the love of Christ with you? We'll do that. I can imagine that several of you are here. In the last 2 years, you have never stopped somewhere, though you are saved, and tell somebody about Jesus. I can't do that. I almost see it like a sin. In fact, it's a sin not to tell someone about Jesus. The Bible says, Whoever knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him is sin. So how can I see my neighbor? One day I was in a park and some Arab people came there and to play in the park. I discovered this is an Arab man. So I had, as usual, I always have tracts in my pocket. I have these little pamphlets. I write to them, put in my pocket, everywhere I go, because I may not lose the opportunity. Sometimes I may not have the opportunity to sit down and talk to you, but I give it to you. If you read it, God help you to read it. God is able to use that to open your heart. That's how I came to Jesus. Nobody talked to me about Jesus. I read the Bible, the letters of the Bible, and the spirit of the Bible popped up to my eyes. That's how I became a Christian. So what happened? The Bible says we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means you have the business to reconcile. The cooks are not the only minister in this church. We are all ministers. In fact, for her and her husband to do this work well, you need to be doing your own. If you are not involved, he finds it very difficult to do. These empty chairs are for people. They're not for air. Are we back? Brother, show me a mercy. Can you flash it back? I'll be done now in five seconds.
What was the passage?
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Okay, let's take a look at it again. So we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. All this is from God who reconciles us. Question I have to ask you, have you been reconciled to God from your sin? Have you had a genuine encounter with Jesus? Is he your Lord? Has he saved you? Because today, we're doing religion, not relationship. God's desire, relationship, not religion. Come to church, clap our hands, drop our offering, hug somebody, go back home, live the way we were living before we claimed to know Jesus. That's not it. There must be a relationship between me and Jesus. So, having given me the ministry of reconciliation, yes, verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's 2. Ministry of reconciliation, message of reconciliation. 20. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassador. Number 3. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, 3 things you are. 3 things. Besides the fact that you have been reconciled to God through Christ, your sins are forgiven. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you're saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you till life expires. The Bible says, you're also going to minister. So I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. Go out there, when we get out this door, when you see a neighbor of yours, walk to him. I think there's something I want to employ us to do. Many of us, some of our neighbors, we don't know their names. We should know their name. Hi, Jack. How are you doing today? Fine. How's your wife? He said, well, I don't want to disturb anybody. You better disturb them because we're talking of hellfire. They say hellfire. A place where Jesus said, the worm of our body does not die. He said, somebody, let's not scare people. I better scare people. A child is crossing the road and a semi-truck is coming. I'll do everything I can do to get that child to a safe ground. If it is hair I can grab, I'll grab the hair and pull it, even if it pulls into my hands. Why? I love that child. Let's talk to our neighbors, our colleagues. We have breaks in the office. During break time, sit down. Target them, pray, fast, and say, Lord, I want to talk to Billy when I get to office tomorrow. Just sit him down and say, Billy, how are you? Say, fine. I wanted to tell you something very important for your life. What is it? I want to tell you the love of God. God loves you so badly. He sent his son to die for you. Oh, no, that's religion. No, it's not religion. Let me finish up, then you conclude. If he says, stop it, stop it. Is that right? We can't beg people with Jesus. He is God himself. I don't think people even know that Jesus is God. This God called Jesus. When in Africa, when people ask us, what's the name of our God? We say, Jesus. What's the name of your God? Allah. If you want to know the difference between two, look at their founders. Look at Muhammad. Look at Jesus. He doesn't conquer anybody by sword. Muhammad does. He conquered by his word, the power of his word. That's how we are conquered. So tell somebody about Jesus. It's so simple. Just tell somebody about your testimony. That's what the word says. Tell somebody who you are, what you have been doing before you met Jesus. And since you met Jesus, how your life has changed. That's called evangelism. Then make sure that you visit him if he has received your message to try to talk to him about the principle of the kingdom of God. That's discipleship. But to do nothing about that is a sin. I'm here to say to you boldly, it's a sin not to tell a sinner going to hell, come back. God says, if you don't, I'll require his blood from your neck. May God help us to wake up to the call in Jesus' name. Because if we don't, I don't want America to be like Britain. There are 8 million Muslims in America scattered all over. And they are seeking to make more. 8 million Muslims. Their interest is to get to the power. They want to be senators, councilmen. They want to be governors. Once they are, they begin to demand. As I'm talking to you now, all the major capital cities of Britain, the mayors there are Muslim. And they are demanding their ways. They have a Sharia in London. They have Sharia in Birmingham, in Manchester, in Scotland. They have Sharia because the tactics they use is to swarm the place when they are more in number. Democracy is number, game of number. So once election comes, they win the election. Right now, they have a place they designate that non-Muslim cannot come there. In another man's country. As somebody said, it can't happen. Well, go to Detroit and see how many Muslims are there. Mosques are littered all over there. Go to Maryland. You'll be hearing the noise in the morning. Please, I am begging you in the name of Jesus. I'm kneeling down for you, even though I'm standing. And I'm pleading with you. If you are saved, if you are born again, if you are a child of God, if you have had an encounter with God, do not sit down on the fence. Join the circle. Move out. Bring somebody to next Sunday. Sunday coming. Invite your neighbor. Just tell them, would you like to go to worship in church? In church with me? You say, where? Say, rivers of life. River of life? Yes. What we know about the river of life, Jesus. They may come, they may not come. But not to be quiet is not good for us. It's not good. I don't know how many of us can invite somebody, just one person, next Sunday. I won't be here, but the pastors will be here. Just next Sunday. Pray. When you come for the prayer this week, please pray for boldness. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the power of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you blessed?
Yes.
I am blessed. I know you are blessed.
Yes.
We're going to pray now. Shall we stand up together? Thank you, Lord. I want you to turn over your personal life over to God. It's as if you're rededicating your life to God. Say, God, use me. Fill me and use me. Break me. Mold me, melt me, use me. There's a song we used to sing in those days. I know most people don't sing it out. He said, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me. Break me, melt me, mold me and use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. If your word had not been written, we'll be confused in our faith. Because different person would have come and said, God told me this. Another counter voice will say, God told me this. But you have given us your word in a written form. That even the one spoken to us can be confirmed by the written. Thank you for your word. We confess that your word is completely unblemished. Your word is what it says. You say you have exalted your word above your name because your word is you. And whatever you send it to, it can't return to you empty. Thank you for your word. I pray, my God and my Father, that the little we have heard about the integrity of your word, the need to believe your word, the need to rest in your word, you need to trust your word. You need to follow your word. God, we will do it in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm asking you, help us to be faithful to your word. In the world today, man is his own God. Man is being worshipped. Man says, I am God of myself. We know that's a lie. Lord, I'm asking you, oh God, that for everyone at the sound of my hearing, convict them of anything that they live or do contrary to your will in Jesus' name. I'm asking you that you fill us with the word of life. Let the river of your life flow through ourselves in Jesus' name. Lord, the demons that are responsible for disobedience and doubt and unbelief, I come against them in the name of Jesus. I break your power in our lives. You are a liar. You remain a liar. And your lie will not overcome us. The truth of the word of God overcome you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word. Lord, I am praying for me and everyone at the sound of my hearing. In whatever area we are lacking, I receive help from above in Jesus' name. Is there anyone sick among us in one way or the other? I speak to that sickness by the power of the word of God. The word says, I sent my word and my word healed them. It is written that Jesus bore our pains and carried our diseases. By his wounds we have been healed. Therefore, on the basis of that, I proclaim healing upon every life that is sick in Jesus' name. I proclaim deliverance. I proclaim help. I proclaim protection in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You are our God, our protection, our providence, our help from ages past. Let your peace come upon us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that as a result of my accent, whatever they didn't hear, the Spirit of God will explain it to them in Jesus' name. Thank you. Let there be a change from this point on. And I declare, go and live for Jesus. Go and live for him. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Reverend Joseph.